wonderful song. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I really love to sing that, hear that song, and for just thinking what it means to us. Well, today is a special day, and I'm trying to get used to a lot of things, among other things, trying to get used to some glasses that I can't see with and I can't see without. So sometimes I'll be looking over them at you, and sometimes I'll be looking through them. I'm not sure. A few years ago, I retired from a church where I had been the pastor for 40 years. I figured they needed a break. And on my way out, they gave me a bouquet of flowers, put me in remembrance of a fella who was going to a new assignment, a new job, a new place, and one of his friends wanted to send him on his way, so he went to the florist and ordered some flowers to be sent to him. And the florist delivered the flowers, and it was a wreath, a funeral wreath, with a card that was wished him sympathies in what he had done. He said, "My deepest sympathies during this time of your sorrow." And so the fellow was a little, he called his friend up and said, "Why in the world did you send me a funeral wreath when I'm going to this new job?" And he said, "Oh my goodness," he said, "I didn't send a funeral wreath." He said, "Let me talk to the florist." So he gets back with the florist, and the florist was just apologized for what had happened there, because he said, "There's been a terrible mistake." He said, I got it mixed up. I sent your flowers to somebody else. I sent the funeral to you." And he says, "I'm not going to charge you for the flowers. Please try to undo what I did wrong." And he said, "But, pray for me. I've got some real problems now. I sent your flowers and the card to the funeral, and it says, 'Best wishes in your new location.'" Well, Ann and I are, we're excited about our new location here with you at Big Spring. And we covet your prayers. Please, this is not just a word that I would say to you idly. We have been praying for you for some time when God began to move this thing together here, and we need your prayers as we undertake this time with you as a transition pastor. And I want to make a brief explanation. I'm sure you probably heard this from the deacons and search committee and Pastor Phil as well. The difference between a transition pastor and an interim preacher. There is a difference, and here typically it's about like this. The transition pastor becomes the pastor of the church during the time that you're getting ready for the man that God will bring here one day, and he does have someone for you who will be your pastor to lead you into the next part of the journey that God has for Big Spring Church. The difference between the transition pastor and the interim preacher is that typically the transition pastor stays a little bit longer, but certainly not much longer than a little over a year, year and a half, or something like that. So just however God's moving in your life at that time. And the interim preacher will lead your worship services and do some pastoral work, visits with the church. But the transition pastor is going to be just like your pastor. I will meet with your committees be there to help, to offer any kind of direction, guidance that may be needed along the way, and just to work in every way that I can to help you cultivate and begin to prepare yourselves for that next step in the journey that God has for Big Spring. And we found that when churches do that, a lot, when the pastor does come and gets here, you're already on the journey, and he's ready to go with you. I love to see things happen, and I like to plant a garden just so I can watch the changes. I'm like some of you. I go out every morning to see if anything has happened, And then when I see some changes, I water it and cultivate it and watch it grow and hopefully get to enjoy some of the harvest of it. The same thing will happen here at Big Spring, and we're just looking forward to that. Now, I want you to know that I really appreciate questions, young and old, whether you're teenagers or children or parents. If you have a question, ask me. I enjoy getting questions. I'll answer any question anyone has. I'm going to give you about 95 of 100 answers I'll give you right now. My answer is, I don't know. But if I don't know, I will try to find someone who does know, and I will get you an answer. And many times, of course, that answer is going to have to come from the Lord. And we'll be praying, and before any big decisions or changes or things happen, we're going to be asking the Lord, inquiring of the Lord, as David did in the Old Testament. So, with that said, I want to share with you this morning a simple message from the Lord. I believe this with all my heart is a message that God would say to you today, and it's a message to me and to Ann in our lives as well. Actually, it began several years ago when my first wife, Sarah, died. A Christian lady whom I did not know and never met sent me a card, and in it was a reference to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. And I read that card and read that scripture, and I really understood that God had sent me a message at that point in my life. Later, I shared that with Ann, and later when we were thinking about our lives together, and we both agreed that this is a message for us. And as I thought about Big Spring today, I think this message is for you too. And so I want to share that with you right now, and let me read it for you. It may be on the screen here. You can read it together. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Behold, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now here's how I outlined that. Do not remember the former things nor consider the things of old. That was then. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. This is now. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. There is tomorrow. And I think that message will resonate with you. It rings in my heart today what God has to say for us. And so I'm going to take a moment here. It's real simple. We'll just walk our way through this scripture. First of all, that was then, and let it go. That's really what Isaiah is saying here. That was then, let it go. I've been hearing from you and others in the community some really encouraging, exciting things about Big Spring Church. I don't know what you've been hearing, but I've heard of some really great things that have happened along the road here. And some of you who've been here many years, you can go back, and I'm sure you remember some heaven-sent revivals, some great times in the Lord, times when the building was filled with people, and more recently, the parking lots were filled with folks, and there have been some exciting things that happened here and encouraging things, and I like to hear encouraging reports. I mean, I get excited about things like that. I hope you do too. And Scripture tells us that we're to remember these things. I participated in some exciting days and times in that 40-year journey there in Ohio. The church that we began in, we started in a little house with 12 people, and in a few years, about 7 years that I remember, there were about 155 folks meeting in a 3-bedroom apartment, and it was a little crowded. And we realized we got to get out of here. We've got to find some place to go. And we were looking for a place to settle somewhere. And we got a phone call from a church in Nashville, or a group of Christians in Nashville, who said, we've got a brand new church not far from you. We knew where it was in the neighborhood. And we want to sell it to you. We're not going to continue our ministry there. And Our hearts just kind of jumped, you know, how much do you want for this church? And they said, $40,000 for a brand new church. I couldn't believe it. I mean, we could put all of our folks in there. It was just exactly what we needed, you know. And so we wondered, what in the world should we do? And the very same day or so, a man just beyond that church offered, he came to us and said, look, we would like to sell you 10 acres of empty ground. And so now we have a choice. Do we buy the church bit for $40,000? What a bargain. I mean, and this thing had been on the market. We didn't know that for months and months. No one had even responded to it. And we thought, well, it's God saying this is for you folks, you know. But we looked at it and said, well, you know, it's kind of landlocked. There's no place to expand, no place to grow. You could start, put everybody in there now, but where do you go from here? 10 acres up here is empty. So we decided that we'd do what I think every church should do and Christians should do. We said, let's just ask the Lord. So we said, Lord, you know, we don't know what to do. If this is from you and it's available tomorrow, we'll buy it. If it's not from you, then send somebody else to buy it. And remember, this has been on the market for years, months, and no one's interested. And if it sells, we'll buy the property on top of the hill. Well, the next day, we're praying that day and that evening, and the next day, get a phone call from Nashville. And the people in Nashville said, we don't understand it. We can't figure out what happened. Someone called us last night and bought the church. We knew what happened. God had spoken, and we bought the 10 acres on top of the hill and later added another 5 to it, and the church is still there today in their ministry. But it was exciting in those days to see what God was doing, and there were exciting worship services. I can recall at least 3 worship services. In each of those services, over 20 people who gave their hearts to Jesus. Salvation flowed, repentance came, heaven just poured out like water on the dry ground. We were so excited in those days. And I've been hearing things like that from this church as well. I mean, I can't believe that you had those 700 people out here this last year at one time on that parking lot area there. Wow, what an opportunity. What a challenge you have out there. And I'm just thinking, those were great things that happened. God did them, and we need to remember and celebrate the victories and the blessings and the good times, the bad times that come in our lives. Isaiah also reminded the people of God in that day in chapter 43 and verse 3. He said, I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. In other words, God had done some great things for them. But Isaiah's message then to Israel and his message to me in my life and his message for this church is simply this. He said, that was then. Don't dwell on it. Let it go. Here's how he said it. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Don't dwell on the past blessings and the past disappointments and difficulties. That was then. Let it go. You got that? Nod your head up and down. All right. Write it down. You know, a lot of things happen in our lives. Good things, bad things. I mean, you know, you can be going, you can think of things right now in your own life. I heard about a fella, 2 old friends who happened to run into each other, hadn't seen each other in years, and one of the guys said to the other one, said, oh, hey, how are things going for you? He said, well, pretty good. He said, I got married. The man said, that's good. He said, yeah, but my wife she's redheaded. He said, that's bad. He said, well, he said, that's not so bad. So she's pretty. He said, that's good. He said, well, that's not so good. She's got a temper. He said, well, that's bad. He said, well, it's not so bad. She's rich. He said, well, that's good. He said, well, I don't know, that's not too good, said she spent all her money. And he said, oh, that's bad. He said, well, it's not all bad. He said, she bought me a new house with it. He said, that's good. He said, That's not all really good. He said, why? He says, well, the house burned down. He said, oh, that's bad. He said, yes, she was in it. Well, folks, Ann will take me to task for that when I get home. Good things happen to us. Bad things happen to us. That's a fact. Storms come, Jesus said. Isaiah said, God did great things for you in the past. Then he says here, don't dwell on them. Let it go. Let it go. It could have been last week, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, a year, 10 years. I met a lady once in a church who she was still struggling and over things that happened that were bad in her life 60 years ago. For 60 years, she'd been hanging on to this bad thing that had happened. My, what an awful way to live a life. And so Isaiah says, that was then, let it go. But he goes on. He said, this is now. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? Underline, circle the word now. This is now. Take hold of it. This is now. Take hold of it. God's doing a new thing. Take hold of it. Now, in Isaiah's case, the new thing that was being done there was the rise of Cyrus, the Persian king. This is 150 years before it happens, and Israel is totally unaware of this, but God is preparing Cyrus, who's not a believer, in fact, but Cyrus, God is raising him up to be the king of a land that will cause the people of God to be restored to and brought back to the promised land that they would be removed from. And so God is doing a new thing, Isaiah tells the people there. Letting go of the past is hard, but sometimes taking hold of the present is even harder for us to do. I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you upon the promise of God's word that he has big plans for Big Spring Church. He has someone that he is preparing now who will lead you in the next step of your journey and your ministry. Take hold of what God is doing. Watch for what God is doing. The psalmist, and a few moments ago you were singing about this, thinking about it, said, wait on the Lord, be of good cheer, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Today, the present time could be look pretty dry and barren and unpromising, but God's going to make a way. If I'd gotten with Tom a little earlier, we could have put this one together as a song to sing. Remember this one? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine always, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is, say it with me, follow. All I have to do is follow. Even in dry places, the Lord knows where the refreshing springs are. There are springs that God has of refreshing if we will just wait on him and find them and follow him. And so that's what we're going to spend this next few weeks and months doing. He'll pour out his spirit like water on dry ground. There will be times of refreshing. There will be times that seem pointless and frustrating. But all we have to do, and say it with me, is follow. Follow the leadership of the Lord. Get in on it. This is now. Get in on it. Kind of like this investigator or this company that was called up an investigation company and asked for their brightest, best detective. He explained the situation. He said, we've had an estate that has come up, we know that there is one survivor, one sole survivor, a man. We can't find him, and we'd like to employ one of your detectives to go out and find this missing heir. And there's $12 million to be inherited here. Do you have someone? They said, we got the very person. A few weeks later, the agency got a call from this detective agency, and they said, the person on the line said, there's a young lady, she said, I'm the detective that was sent out to find your missing heir, and I've got some good news for you. They said, what's that? Well, we found him. And so the company was just overjoyed. They were thinking about, you know, the finder's fee that they would receive. And he says, well, when can we meet him? She said, just as soon as we get back from our honeymoon. You see, lots of folks are looking for their opportunities. They're not going to miss them. Don't miss the opportunities that God has before you. Seize the opportunities. This is now. Take hold of it. Don't let it pass you by. Because even in that respect, there's always tomorrow that's coming too. Get in on it. There's tomorrow. Get in on it. Shall you know it, not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God is doing something new every day, something exciting, something that we don't even know about. Wonderful things that are happening. I hear these exciting stories from all over. My home birthplace was over in South Carolina, just a few miles down the road or over the road from you here, and not long ago I heard about something exciting coming out of South Carolina. There were two ladies who recognized that this area they lived in was having these festivals, kind of like you have here all the time in Cleveland, and they decided to go out to the festival, and they set up a little table and a little booth, and it said, prayer booth, let us pray for you. People started coming to the prayer booth. One lady came to the prayer booth, and a little teenage girl said, ma'am, can I pray for you? She just broke into tears. She said, please pray for me. My husband just left me this morning. Others came and said, please pray for us. We need a job. We need some work, some employment. God is doing a wonderful thing in the lives of people who just see things like that. I could just see people doing that right out here. I mean, you don't have to have a festival. Just put up a little stand, like a lemonade stand out there, and say, prayer booth, and just wait for the people to come. Somebody's going to come by and say, pray for me. Pray for me. I heard about a group of little, we got Legends, Journey, and Fancy, and all these young ones here, and Braden here, these young people. I heard about a little band of 11 boys, 10-year-old boys, and they decided to form their own little group. They call themselves the Band of Brothers. And here's what they did. They banded together. They knew they were going into middle school and then later to high school. And they said, we're going to band together and we're going to make some decisions. We're not going to get involved in drugs or alcohol. We're going to treat girls right. We're going to do what is needed and necessary. They're getting in on tomorrow. The blessings that God has in store for their lives. Band of Brothers. Who knows, maybe a band of brothers will start up in this little community and see what God is doing in their lives. Well, I've heard about some of those exciting things you've had here, and I keep referring back to them. First thing I heard recently was when you had the block party and those 700 people came out here. What an opportunity. I said, now, this is tomorrow. What we need to do now is to get connected to some of those people that came here. I mean, what do we need to do to connect ourselves to those folks that showed up in the parking lot of the building out here? We may have to do something different. May have to do something new. We build some relationships with some of those folks. Ann and I were excited several weeks ago when we were invited to go with a couple of your ladies. Here, both these ladies down front here. We went out here, and almost within sight of this church property, we found a couple of families. They were excited about church. I don't know what we need to do to build that connection. But here, what wonderful opportunities. There's tomorrow. Take hold of it. Take hold of tomorrow. Get in on what God is doing. So all of these things are happening in our lives. We don't want to focus on the victories of the past. We'll let those go and remember them. We don't want to focus on the things that happened that disappointed us or that were painful for us, let it go. But we want to take hold of every opportunity that God has before us now. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Why? Because God doesn't sponsor any flops. He is the head of the body of Christ. We want to get in on it. And the real question here this morning, as we come to the summary of what we've been saying here and Isaiah saying, is the question, am I going to get in on it? Is my family going to get in on it? What do I have to do to get in on what God is doing now and in the days to come? In God's providence, He's brought you to Big Spring Church for such a time as this. He placed you here with circumstances that we have here now. You can make a difference in this church. You can make a difference. You can make a difference in this community. You can contribute to God's kingdom. Get in on it. Get in on it. I heard about a lady who was renting a house in a neighborhood like this, and she looked out her window and saw the landlord coming, and she knew she didn't have the rent. And so she closed the blinds, went into the back room and sat down in a chair and just sat there and refused to come to the door when the landlord knocked on the door to collect the rent. She was so upset, worried, didn't know what to do. A couple of days later, the landlord left, of course, and a couple of days later, she was out on the street, and lo and behold, she ran into the landlord. She didn't know what to do, and he walked up to her, and he said, "Ma'am, I need to talk to you." "Yes, sir." He said, "I came by your house a couple of days ago." "Yes, sir." "And I just wanted to tell you, a friend of yours gave me a check for your rent, and I just wanted to let you know that the rent had been paid." But she had missed all the joy of it, sitting in the dark. Are you going to sit in the dark, worry, wonder, and struggle, or are you going to get in on what God has in store? You see, the landlord hadn't been knocking on her door to evict her from her house. He was there to tell her the rent had been paid. God isn't saying to you this morning that He's going to send you to a hell. He's here to invite you into His heaven. That's what He wants you to be a part of, and me. Are you going to get in on it? What do I have to do to get in on what God's doing in my life? God's best is yet to come. So often we fail to get in on what is rightfully ours because we're hiding in the dark, worrying and wondering and waiting, and God's knocking at the door to invite us into His heaven. In a few moments, we're going to stop. I think we've gone long enough. And let's each one right now talk with God. There's some things you need to let go. Let them go. "Lord, I'm going to let that go. Good or bad? I know it was wonderful, but we'll let that go. Lord, I do see some things that you're doing here, and I want to get in on that." And then most of all, "Lord, open my eyes that I can see what you are doing that I can get in on in the days to come." Will you do that? It may be that what you've missed is the assurance and the confidence, the knowledge that God has a home for you in His heaven. You can get in on that today. Heaven can be yours. You don't have to wait any longer. The Bible says if you will confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. God will give you that assurance and that home in His heaven. Talk to God this morning. Let's pause. Just bow your head and let's talk together. Father, all across this room, your people whom you have created, our hearts are open. We want to talk with you, Lord, and open our hearts to you. For some of us, Lord, we need to let go of some things in the past. Good things, too, and we thank you for them. But, well, Lord, it's kept us from getting in on the things that are going on right now. And, Lord, I know that you have things for the future for each of us. Help us to get in on those as well. Lord, touch our hearts, draw us unto you today, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to sing together. And I want you to have an opportunity to respond to what the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me, himself, Jesus. And then he said, no one comes to God except the Spirit of God draws them. If the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart today and saying, come home, come to Jesus, my prayer is that you would just, while when we stand in a few moments, just take a step out into the aisle and walk down and stand with me here. When you do, I'm going to ask you a question. So I'm going to get you ready for this. I'm going to ask you, why are you here? And I hope you'll say, I want Jesus in my life. I want to be a Christian. I want to go to heaven when I come to the end of my life. Maybe you just need to go and have a quiet talk with God in prayer. You could kneel here somewhere and maybe there's some things you need to let go. Good things, but you're just wearing them out, you know. You're still wearing that 1955 letter shirt that you got in high school. Let it go. Get in on the new things that God is doing. Whatever it is, would you come today in response to what God is saying in your heart and your life? Let's stand together and sing. You come while we sing.